Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. Hope you're enjoying your life. Hope you're enjoying the end of summer. There's no denying it. We've been back and forth for weeks now on whether it was coming, but this is it, man. Labor Day weekend on the horizon. It's all over.
It is. Everyone feels like their life is ending.
You can cheat. You can squirrel away little weekends at in the mountains, go to your lake, sneak down to the beach while other people are still working. There's no denying it. Summer is kaput at the end of this week. So hopefully you will be able to enjoy this podcast and then use our inspiration to go on a bender between now and next Monday. And when you come home on Monday and collapse on your couch, Monday putting off the inevitable beginning of fall on Tuesday, you'll turn on your television and you'll flip over to the Food Network and you'll turn on Baked at 10 p.m. East, the world premiere of our what seems like life's work culminating in Baked. The bread show is finally here. I still call it a bread show, but it's donuts and cakes and all this other great stuff. You all know what it is. It's going to be amazing. I was on Rich Eisen's show today on DirecTV, and they showed a little preview clip of it. And man, this is a sports show filled with dudes.
Mm-hmm.
A couple women, but a lot of big, hairy dudes that want to talk about sports. They showed a clip from Baked, the sticky buns, the donuts, all of the cakes, the breads coming out of the oven. I heard grown men start to weep. Oh my God. Oh, come on. That looks delicious. Oh, what is this show on? I'm telling you, it looks so beautiful. It looks so delicious. You're going to lose your minds when you see this. Paul, you'll have to DVR it because you're going to be on the other side of the world.
I think they'll get it first, maybe. You never know.
You never know. I did just find out that it's actually going to be in Australia.
Nice.
A lot of times they don't run these shows other places, but it's going to play in Australia on the same time that it's going to premiere here.
Do they have a voiceover guy for you? Do they?
Welcome to Baked. I've been making sourdough bread. No, I think it just runs as is. But yeah, it's very exciting. I'm running around. I'm doing a lot of press for it. It's going to be good. Who knows? Tomorrow you might see me early morning in one of your morning television shows as I run through town. I do like a tour of all the nation's morning shows tomorrow, which will be very exciting.
Yes, and early Tom.
Yeah. I have to do more tomorrow early. Whatever it takes for the bread show, Paul. It's what you got to do in the world of promotion. I'm just excited it's coming out.
Finally. Yeah.
What a long, strange trip. But not as long and strange as your trip coming up. You leave tonight?
1 a.m.
1 a.m. And you're heading
to Thailand.
Oh, my God. You're out of control.
I talk Thai. Oh, I talk Thai very well.
They say Thai people are some of the friendliest people.
I hope so.
Have you heard that?
I've tried to read the language, and I'm hopefully going to base most things on facial expressions. Because, you know, like you go in somewhere, and you're like, okay, I might be able to wing a few hellos. This is like These street signs are going to be difficult.
You're going to do great. You're going to get, how do they say in Thailand, a lot of action.
How you say
action. There's a lot of beautiful women there.
Yeah, we'll see. I've heard it's a very, very busy city.
Yes.
There's a lot of things. My good friend's restaurant is opening, I think, the day I get there.
In Thailand?
In Bangkok, yes.
Oh, my God.
And then I have a show, like, I guess on the, just in a suburb the first night, so I'm going to be like an hour or so away. And then Friday night, one night in Bangkok.
Jeez. That should be the name of your album.
Yeah, I know. We'll see if we can record it.
You really should. Just get it. Whatever happens, put it down.
Yeah, I was trying to. Have you listened to the song recently at all? It's very strange.
Bangkok?
One Night in Bangkok. Remember, it was like a hit.
It
like,
was?
Yeah.
I don't remember that song.
Come on.
One Night in Bangkok?
Are you serious?
I remember
serious?
A joke. A kid used in my grade school used to come up to you and
yeah,
say...
Yeah, in the balls.
Yeah, what's the capital of Thailand? And then he'd punch you right in the crotch and yell, Bangkok. One Night in Bangkok.
Yeah, that's a famous trivia question. Who sang it? It's a one-hit wonder.
Chess.
Murray Head.
Murray Head?
That's the guy who sang it.
Really?
Yeah, that's a... It was like a one-hit wonders category for something. Yeah, you don't remember this song? It was like, it was MTV age, like late 80s maybe?
I think you're making this whole story up.
No. You gotta fast forward. This is just the intro. Bangkok, Oriental City.
Oh, yeah.
You remember this song. You. But it's about chess for some reason.
I love this song. Bangkok.
Well, that was the hook.
Are you going to go in...
One night in Bangkok in the world's your oyster. I wonder if that's a beloved song in that city or not. it should be fun. It's a real adventure kind of place, you know. That's one of those places that when you saw Anthony Bourdain go there and you're like, wow, that seems like overwhelming, and then that he did it, you're like, oh, okay, we could do this, we could have some fun there and see what's out there, you know.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be exciting. How many days will you be there in total?
Let's see. So I'm going to be in Thailand for 4 or 5 days, and I'm going to be in Singapore. Singapore actually has a full-time comedy club now. And, that's what
where do they get their comics from?
They're international. Singapore, everyone speaks English. That's like the main language. So everyone speaks English. Thailand is just going to be all expats, you know?
Right, right.
But Singapore is actually like a scene. Like people have recorded like Comedy Central specials in Singapore and
oh, wow.
That kind of stuff.
Really?
So it's like an actual thing. And I was there, it must have been 3 years ago for that festival. And in the meantime, a guy who met me at the festival, he's the one that opened the comedy club. So that's why he wants me to come back. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. I hope they're paying you a lot. You have to go a long way.
It cost less to fly to Thailand than it did to Portland this weekend.
What?
Yeah.
Get out of town.
Yeah. This summer was the worst flying
in the States.
Like
everything was sold out.
Everything was expensive.
Why? What happened?
I don't know. They're just gouging. And you know what I just figured out? Because yesterday I flew back... Yesterday, and I had a 5 o'clock flight, and I took that one because the 8 o'clock flight was like $300 more.
5 a.m.?
No, 5 p.m. Uh-huh. Like yesterday, I was like on the coast. That was my weekend. I went to the Oregon coast. I don't know if you've ever been there.
Yes, you told me it was going to be beautiful.
And I figured out my new life, Tom.
Really?
I'm a Jeep man.
What?
I
Did you just pull up in a Jeep?
Yep.
I thought I saw a Jeep.
I got a Jeep. I'm a Jeep Wrangler guy.
What happened to you?
I'm a Wrangling man.
Where's your car? You love it? I wanted a Jeep.
It's amazing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Everyone always complains that it's too noisy.
That was what I dated a girl that had a Jeep for like a few months, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. That's one of the things I really liked about her.
That's because you were kissing her on the lips.
No, but it was like, to see a hot chick pull up in a Jeep, that's like...
It's pretty cool. That's,
you're like, all right, she's not high maintenance.
Right.
She can get her hands dirty, all
right.
That kind of stuff.
She likes to go four-wheeling.
So, yeah, I got
all the way to Bangkok.
I got to Portland, and, you know, you pick up the rental car, and, you know, everyone's bitching about having some kind of, like, Infinity, and I was like... What's the Wrangler over there? Because I knew I was going to be on the beach. I could drive on the beach.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah, I'll take that. And this really cool girl, she's like, I really like it. You can open up, take the top off, and just you can see the stars as you're driving. Because I was going, like, through the mountains.
Ooh.
And the seat was like a real person seat. Like
wasn't
that
hard.
They used to have. No, it wasn't at all. It was great.
Really?
Yeah. I dig it.
Wow. Noisy?
Nope. Not that bad at all.
Not great on gas. I'm not trying to dwell on the negatives, but I'm trying to parse it.
I drove 2 hours to the coast and 2 hours back, and I filled like 3/4 of a tank.
Wow.
So.
Jeez, really?
But that's the only thing is you gotta change your wardrobe, Tom. You can't.
No.
Can't jump in the Jeep with a suit jacket. Really good pants.
You could if you had cowboy boots on.
Yeah, you need jeans. You need boots.
You could be business up top, cowboy down low.
You need a denim shirt.
Is this a rental or did you really get it?
This is a rental,
out?
Yeah. Because I got back late last night. And yeah, I got back like 11:30 at night.
Did you drive back?
No.
Why do you have a Jeep here?
Because I got back at the airport at midnight last night.
Yeah.
And I checked the Uber, and I don't know if you still have your guy, but LAX is about to collapse. There's so many cars.
Really?
And it takes almost 30.
I know.
It takes 30 minutes to order an Uber.
No, you can't do it.
And
getting dropped off on your way to the airport, you have to allow an extra half hour.
It's insane.
Just to go around like... From terminal to terminal.
So the last couple times I've gotten on that parking spot shuttle and just taken it to like In-N-Out and then got an Uber there. It's insane.
It's like a battle now.
Yeah.
It literally is a battle. They ruined the airport.
They have to do something. So what I did was...
Crazy.
I just jumped on the Hertz shuttle and it was $10 to rent that car.
What?
Yeah.
$10? How's that possible? Well, you have all those crazy discount schemes.
I do, but it's still like $17 usually to like LAX, you can get a rental car for really cheap. So basically I was like
$10.
I was like $40.
It'd be like that would be like $220 in any other place.
The Jeep or just
any
the
car.
No, you can get a really cheap, like I know guys that rent cars for like a month for like $300 or $400.
It's, what?
Yeah, yeah. LAX is super cheap.
When you dropped that car off for me in Boston?
Yeah. That I could have saved you a lot of money.
It was like almost $1,000.
I know. You should put me in charge of your rental cars. I can save you a lot of money.
What the hell happened?
Because I think you pay for the upgrade, and I just get it automatically.
Oh.
So, this thing was...
$10.
So it's 17.
You should get five of them.
Well, it's $17 total. So I will drive it to Hertz. I'll take the Hertz shuttle in, and I won't have to deal with all that BS.
Wow, you found a little wrinkle.
Well,
is brilliant.
But it saves me. You know, it saves me. It was $40 for the Uber last night. It's going to be $40 tonight. So
yeah,
it saved
bucks.
Me money.
Absolutely. And if you were to take like a regular car, it'd be even more than that.
Yeah, I'm just...
Wow, so now you're a Jeep wrangling guy.
It is. I feel like it's part of me. I wouldn't even know what to do when I get back and it's not here.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Get back in a regular car? That's gross.
Well, who knows? Maybe I'll start riding mopeds in Thailand.
Could you live in the Upper West?
No. It is what you're romanticizing, dream of just being able to write or do something like that.
Isolating, you mean?
Like, you could go up there and live as long as you didn't have to make any money or do anything else.
Right, yeah.
But it is very, like, there's people selling tie-dyes on the side of the road. Like, that's how it was pretty...
Right.
It's like right out of the hippie textbook.
Wow. That's kind of cool, though, when you eventually leave L.A., find a place like that where you just need a cabin, see how little you could live on.
Yeah, and these guys are... Everyone's by the ocean.
They're living a life. Well, it's rainy, though, up there.
Right. So it's not, like, spoiled.
Yeah, you're right, because not that many people can go there without killing themselves.
There's a lot of middle-aged white guys that probably are homeless.
Right.
That are kind of hanging out, and you're not really sure.
Living in hollowed-out trees.
You're just a little bit dirtier than you should be.
Right.
Just hanging out in the middle of this casino.
Yeah. I was in the upper part of Michigan.
Yeah, where were you?
Where the middle finger is, basically.
Upper Peninsula.
Yeah, I don't know if it... Yeah, up on, right on the lake. It was beautiful up there.
Yeah.
Stayed in this little lake hotel. It was gorgeous. Then I went, did the show at this great performing arts center. It was really nice. But, you know, had to fly, get myself to Traverse City, and then drive another 2 hours up to the gig. It was in the middle of nowhere.
Oh,
I had
really?
A 6 a.m. flight out.
Oh, man.
So it was like one of those 3:30 in the morning finding my way kind of things.
Jeez. Yeah, that's a place you can't even go in the wintertime. It just freezes over.
Totally freezes over. I was in this great little bakery, and they're closing like next week because winter's coming.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's where our buddy Gary Cannon's wife is from, Upper Peninsula.
Oh, yeah?
So he goes up there quite a bit. Like,
it is great. I mean, it was funny, though. I like looked in this real estate. You know, they always have these real estate magazines when you go to these places.
Mm-hmm.
Not cheap.
No?
No.
Huh.
I think this is where rich people from, I guess, Chicago and...
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, not cheap at all. These are like luxury homes on these lakes.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could find, you know, places inland or maybe on different lakes or whatever, but this was swanky.
Yeah, this was... Well, the place that I stayed was like, remember when we were at that place in St. Louis Obispo that was like right on the water?
Oh, yeah.
And like you had to like close the window because the waves were so loud when you're talking on the phone. Like that's what this was like.
Oh, nice.
And it's just so like peaceful just to have that in the background.
Yeah. I had Friday night off because I had to fly in just to make the show coming from New York. And I had a night off. Like I wasn't. Literally a full night off just alone in this nice hotel on this lake. And I think I slept 12 hours, which I haven't done, I think, since college.
Yeah.
I was so spent. I was so wiped out. And I was like, you know, I could probably stay here like a week and be just as happy. I just watched baseball and wrote and went and did my silly show. That was
great.
Oh, it was so nice.
Yeah, we have... Well, I had one more airport thing for you because we didn't mention it. So as I come back, this is last week, come back midnight at LAX, which is a crap shoot. You know, it's just a mess.
You don't know if it's going to be empty or packed. It won't be.
No, it's always, especially like Sunday night now, it's just like mayhem.
Yeah.
There's just so many people trying to pick each other up. And so I go to... The baggage claim, because now they changed the thing where all the rental car stuff is like downstairs and everything else is upstairs or something like that. Like they reversed everything to try to make it smoother. It's still horrible.
Yeah.
So I end up going down to like baggage claim, even though I didn't check a bag. And as I'm walking by, I see a telephone pole in the middle of the baggage claim. And it's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, my God.
And he looks like a Little Rascals episode where there's a kid standing on another kid's shoulders with like a jacket over him. That's what he looks like. Did you see? I had the picture somewhere.
No, I didn't see you post it.
Yeah, I'll show you the picture just because it's like, it really is. He's like a foot behind a, he's like a foot below the baggage claim ceiling. He's like,
oh my God.
It's crazy.
Are people coming up to him?
There was like a couple kids that said hello. You know, he's like, he's in his 70s and it was late too.
Yeah.
So he had a hat on that looked like way too small for him. The first thing I think of is, hey, aren't you Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? And he's like, no, I'm Roger Murdoch. Remember in the movie Airplane?
Airplane, yeah.
He's like, I like you, but my dad says you don't work hard enough on defense.
That would be fun. Just go up and ask him if he's Murdoch. Wow, look at that. Yeah, he's gigantic.
Look at that hat. He's got that little...
Yeah.
Looks like a little plastic cup on his head.
So funny. It's got to be funny knowing everybody's... who's looking down at their phone is typing, I'm with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
But yeah, it was, that was pretty
That's
random.
A good sighting. That's a good late night sighting.
Yeah. But he, yeah, he's a guy that I wasn't like necessarily a Laker fan, but he's definitely one of the greats. I mean, on
one
paper,
of the greatest of all time.
On paper, he's the best.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
really?
six MVPs.
Wow.
That's the same as LeBron and Jordan.
Do you think all of the stars are going to start circulating just because LeBron's here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
It's going to be a show. Whether or not it's going to be like a legit great thing, I don't know. But it's definitely going to be in LA. Who, you know, they've been since Kobe, they've been waiting for somebody. It's going to be.
Yeah.
Pretty nuts.
Well, that's what puts you in perspective with the Kobe. So Kobe won one MVP in 20 years.
Wow.
And everyone talks about him like he's Jesus.
Right.
And Kareem won six titles.
Yeah.
And they outlawed the dunk because of him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it was the 60s, they outlawed the dunk when he was in college. You couldn't dunk.
Jeez.
Because it was like the easiest shot for him. That's when you know you're good.
That's amazing. Hey, how about the Yankees creeping up?
Yeah, didn't get a picture
up.
Of your jersey. Did you see?
Yeah, Papa making some noise.
That's the guy I picked out of the gate. Spring training, I texted you and all my friends, this guy's got to make the team. Miguel Andujar, he's amazing.
Yep, I remember that.
And he's got a shot at beating Ohtani out for Rookie of the Year right now still.
Oh, wow. How about Voit?
Who? Voit? Oh, the new guy?
The new guy taking over for Bird.
Right? Yeah.
Oh,
Bird's
so
kind
happy
of disappointing.
To see, yeah, man, that guy just didn't pan out.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, he hit like one home run, and everyone's like, yeah, everybody take, you know, some people start off slow. I'm like, start off slow. This guy...
Well, he dropped that one ball that cost him the game.
Yeah, he's... I don't know what his deal is.
Did you see the 20-year anniversary thing? That was amazing.
Oh, of the 78?
The 98 team.
The 98. Oh, yeah.
Everybody,
I didn't see the tribute.
Everybody came... that was when I was in New York. Everyone comes up to the booth, you know? So you listen
right.
to Torrey talk for
nice.
A couple innings. And so everyone was there except for Jeter... And Scott Brosius, who's the third base coach for the Mariners now. But everybody else was there.
Brosius is coaching? That's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jeter's there with the Marlins, and he's working.
It was his daughter's first birthday.
Oh, no, that's why?
And I'm like, she's never going to remember that. It's like...
You just got to be there for the pictures.
But that was great. You know, Strawberry, 98 was like Strawberry, Brosius, O'Neill... Like all Leyritz, Shane Spencer had that like crazy month where he just hit like a home run every day.
Amazing. So great. What a great run that was. And now you can feel it. The Red Sox have peaked.
Yeah.
They have peaked. It's over. I'm telling you. They're going to start dropping, and we're gonna catch them. I think we're going to catch them.
Let's hope so.
Sanchez is coming back. Didi's coming back. Judge soon after that.
Let's hope everyone doesn't hate us for talking about the Yankees, but...
Well, look, we're all allowed to be winners in some things, and we were born Yankee fans.
And they have the fifth highest payroll. The Red Sox are like $40 million ahead of them.
The Dodgers ahead of them? Come on. We're like young upstarts.
Yeah, these are your young kids.
Yeah, come on.
Just give playing for fun. But yeah, it was Players Weekend, so Miguel Andujar, apparently his nickname is Papa.
Yeah.
So he had Papa on his jersey.
I saw that. And made some noise, and I got a bunch of comments on that. I was not playing baseball. I was sitting at the lake by myself, staring out at the water, like Pacino at the end of The Godfather. So tomorrow I'm going to Sun Valley.
Oh, nice!
Yeah, I'm performing for some potato people.
Really?
Some like potato council or something. Yeah.
Are you at that resort?
I'm at the fancy resort.
Go, this is the coolest place I can get you into.
What is it?
So when you check in,
okay,
the room there is, I'm like a big Hemingway historian, kind of. Like, I'm more interested in his life than his books, really.
Why? Have you read his books?
Yeah, but I mean, his life is crazy. Like, he was in three plane crashes. He got shot like five times.
Right.
He's a bullfighter, a boxer.
Yeah.
Like, he had a boat capsize. Like, everything that could happen to you, he's still alive. And so
killed himself.
He was born there, and then, that's where he killed himself. But he also...
This is interesting. I'm sorry to cut you off, but... when I was staying in Walloon Lake up there in Michigan, his family had like a home there, a summer home, or his grandparents, someone from Hemingway.
Oh, okay.
He used to go there every summer.
Oh, wow.
Maybe I'm following his footsteps.
Yeah.
So wait, he used to hang out at the hotel?
So Sun Valley was, he kind of created this whole cool thing, almost like Park City is now.
Yeah.
So they had like I think the train went there. So you can see all these like, famous people in like the 30s would come up there.
Yeah, Bing Crosby used to go, and they made there was like a Christmas kind of movie done around there.
Mm-hmm.
It was like it was where all the and it's still a very wealthy area.
Yeah, but and it continued because Arnold Schwarzenegger and that's where Adam West lived there.
Uh huh.
Because I went to I was there for the Sun Valley Film Festival, and they did a documentary about him right before he died.
Hilarious.
And so if you go to the hotel, Hemingway wrote For Whom the Bell Tolls in one of the rooms.
Really?
And you can stay in that room.
Over how long?
And creepily, it's like a honeymoon suite, which is really weird.
Is it a suite?
Yeah, they have like a bust of Hemingway in there and a Nintendo controller, which I always thought was funny.
So when I go there, I have to request the Hemingway suite?
Well, I don't know if you request it, but you can at least like say, hey, do you mind if I just check it out? And they'll give you the key and you can go in there and check
it
out.
Really?
Yeah.
What should I write in there?
Yeah, that's right. You could just sit in there long enough to write a joke.
In one day. So why was he at that hotel, though? I don't get it.
That's where he lived there.
He lived
for
in
years
the hotel?
And years.
He lived in the hotel, or he lived in Sun Valley?
He lived there, but he would stay in the hotel like for summers. That's where all the people like.
So he grew up there, but he would come back and hang out.
Yeah, and all the
trying to have.
He would take all these famous people hunting. You know, like Nick Offerman. Like, he was, like, the manly guy. So if, like, some movie
Cary
star...
Cary Grant wanted to go, Bing Crosby was like...
Yeah.
I'd like to shoot...
If they wanted to seem manly.
I'd like to shoot a buffalo with Hemingway.
Gene Autry wanted to seem manly.
Boo, 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 boo. I'd like to shoot a buffalo. Looking to shoot a buffalo. Another guy named Papa, by the way.
Yes.
So... You're telling me I should go shoot a buffalo with Bing Crosby before I tell jokes to the potato people.
Well, it's going to be very strange because I've never seen it. There used to be a gig at the resort, so I've been there four or five times in the dead winter. So I've never seen it. It's really beautiful. Like in the winter, they have all these ice sculptures and all this kind of stuff. So I don't know what it would look like now.
I'm supposed to bring my hiking boots and hike around. Because the problem is the gig is in like the afternoon, but I won't be able to get out. I won't be able to get to the airport in time to fly home the same day.
Is it a? Is it like? Let's see. Is the gig like for something particular? You said
yeah,
potatoes?
For the potato people. Okay. It's for the potatoes.
A guide to Ernest Hemingway's Sun Valley legacy.
Ooh.
Returning time and time again to hunt, fish, and write, Hemingway established a permanent residence in the valley before his death in 1961. Enjoy the beauty of Wood River Valley, as Hemingway once did. Grab a cocktail at one of his favorite watering holes, fish the same grounds he explored, or visit his final resting place at the Ketchum Cemetery.
Oh, so where'd he kill himself?
Yeah, I think
he shot himself.
Yeah, that was because that's what they always say Ketchum instead of Sun Valley, which is like the little dumpy town like next to it.
So I got to find out where he drank.
Hemingway first came to Sun Valley in 1939 with an invite to stay alongside other celebrities at Sun Valley Lodge. That's where you're going to be.
Right. Yeah.
Joined by his soon-to-be third wife, he set up shop in Suite 206.
206 is where I get my next wife.
Hemingway finished his most popular novel, For Whom the Bell Tolls, in that room.
Finished it.
Today, visitors can stay in the celebrity suite dedicated to Hemingway, decorated with photographs and a bronze statue of the author at his typewriter.
Oh.
There you go.
All right. I will ask when I get there.
Just say you want 206.
And if you don't have it, send me to Bangkok.
And say my name is Papa.
I am Papa. Someone gave me a shirt from Key West with his picture on it. It says Papa.
Yeah.
Papa something.
That's what...
Maybe I'll wear that.
Yeah, yeah. Just, you should go in as like your last name Hemingway. Just say, hey, can I see my great-grandfather's room?
I am Hemingway. I'm back. And I'm also a comedian telling jokes for potato people tomorrow.
You got to get that beard going.
Yeah, I'll cut a little scruff before I go over. Well, that sounds amazing. All right, well, now I got something to do. I was going to go for a hike up in the mountains, but maybe I'll just sit in that room and get weird.
No, just get a drink in the place where he used to hang out. It's the same place.
I'll do that tomorrow night.
Like, they built the resort kind of around the lodge. So right. It kind of has, like, you can stay in the newer places, but then you can also stay in the lodge, too.
Oh.
It's kind of like, where were we, in Salem or whatever? It was like that old-fashioned, you know, like they kept everything exactly the same.
How do you say the name of that place we were?
Salem?
Salem? I called it Salem. Somebody, and they were like, what? I was like, yeah, I was up in Salem, Mass. And they're like, I've never heard it called that before.
Yeah.
That Salem.
I just drag my A's because it's Salem. That's like the...
How do you say when someone is really strong, they have...
Strength?
Say that again?
Strength?
Strength. I say strength.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's like a...
Someone pointed that out at my show the other night.
Yeah, that's like a that's strength. A speech pattern. Strength.
Strength. Strength. Strength.
Yeah, yeah. That's like a Coen Brothers.
It's apples and what?
Why Iota.
Apples and...
Oranges.
What?
Oranges.
Oranges.
You say orange.
I say oranges. I have the strength to say orange.
No, you do the orange.
Orange.
I think you do a more Jersey, like that comes out when you say orange.
Uh-huh.
And I can't remember the other one.
Orange.
You don't have like the, you ever hear Mike Buschetti has like that New York accent from the 30s? He's like, my brother and my father.
Oy, I tell you what I tell you. Why, you woim.
Why did somebody say that to you? That's always strange when somebody's like...
I was signing books after my show.
Oh, okay.
And thank you, everybody, for continuing to come out and support the book and buy the book. And if you haven't left a review on Amazon, please do. Please keep it rolling. I saw it in the airport in Chicago.
Nice.
I was very excited. And people were buying the book the other day, and a woman came up and said, where are you from again? I said, where'd you grow up? I said, New Jersey. She said, oh, yeah. She goes, I couldn't tell, and then you said strength. Which to me doesn't even sound Jersey.
Yeah,
I don't know
that's
what that
not
is.
A,
I think that's just a mistake.
Because I'm usually pretty good with, like, I can tell somebody's Canadian right off the bat.
Right.
Because they have a couple tells, and then Philly is really, like,
right.
Water.
Water.
And
water.
Boot.
All right, we got to roll. Hey, for anyone that's subscribing, we're going to post the extra podcast right after this, so you will get the bonus content of for our Patreon subscribers. For everybody else, we thank you very much. As I said, this is the end of summer, so go out and do something. Get that last piece of corn. Get a strawberry that's just on the border of being too ripe. Get a big gin and tonic. And enjoy it, because this is it. Now look, as we also know, it's also secret summertime, because children are going back to school, and we tell them that summer's over, and then you go screw around without them knowing it. This is adult summertime coming up over the next week and a half. I will report from the Hemingway suite. Paul will report from Singapore and his favorite nickname, Bangkok. Enjoy your life.